Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1 and from verse 1 to 2. Jonah chapter 1 and from verse 1 to 2. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." This morning I want to, or this afternoon I want to talk about what I call show and tell. Show and tell. Ordinarily speaking, if you look at the story of Jonah, you may not quickly know that Jonah is the story of the gospel. You may not quickly know that Jonah is eventually a love story. You may not quickly conclude that the thing that God was trying to do with Jonah was that God was trying to create what he will eventually do, even with the church. The thing that you will see in the story of Jonah is that God was actually previewing the gospel. Every now and then when you read the Old Testament, you need to understand that God was very intentional. God is very methodical. God is very on purpose. And one of the things he was doing with the story of Jonah was to show us what was going to happen, not only by how Jonah entered the belly of the fish, because you know when Jesus showed up on the scene, one of the things that Jesus said was that when people were asking him, will you show us a sign? And he said, there's no sign that is going to be shown to you except the sign of Jonas the prophet. What was the sign? That he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then that was what was going to happen to Jesus. So Jesus going into the tomb was like Jonah. And I hope you know that that story is true. Can somebody say amen? You know, sometimes when you read Bible story, some people find it very, like, this is very hard to believe. How can it happen? It can happen. It can happen. Okay, what will he eat? He doesn't need to eat anything. I mean, if you've even been following some of this old hostage release, you know, in this whole Gaza war and all that kind of thing, you will see people that were emaciated. They've not probably nourished well, and some people probably not really eating. It is possible for men to stay alive for quite a while without food. Amen. So when you read these things in scriptures, sometimes because of modern dayism, you may think that it's just fairy tales. It's not fairy tales, but much more than the literaliness of the book of Jonah, there is a message, and it's a message of love. There is a message to the church today, and it's a message that God is saying, I want you to show, and I want you to tell of my love. What God was doing to Jonah in this story was that God was telling him and showing him how he wanted him to respond to his love. You know, in the next few days, we're going to celebrate Valentine, and there is a lot of commercialization around the whole concept of Valentine. And nothing wrong about that. It's very good. It's good to do all the candies, you know, but be careful, you know. It's good to give roses and give gifts and have somebody that you write a poem to. And please, if you have people that you're going to write poem to, write it to them and tell them in person. Can somebody say amen? All this virtual, people are more virtual with their love than actual with their love. There are people that will come on social media and say so many beautiful flowery things about their spouse and take pictures. The reel will be so very, very nice. And people will comment, ha, ha, and then they will be doing all this love. But love will be bubbling out from their emojis and all that kind of thing. But inside, the person that is even sending it is sitting next to the person he's sending it to, but he has not told them. So this season, do all of that whole fun stuff. But make sure that you let people that you love know that you love them. Can somebody say amen? And you don't need to also show love only to the people who are maybe of the opposite sex in a romantic way and all of that kind of thing. Your children also need you to show them love. Can somebody say amen? Your parents also need to show them love. Can somebody say amen? Amen.
Siblings, we can show ourselves love too. Because sometimes it's like siblings, the rivalry doesn't stop. We just keep fighting forever. You know, even me, as young as I am, the other day I was talking to my mom and I was just like, see the way I'm even talking, self. You know, about one of my siblings. We're just talking. And I was just looking at myself. You are just talking like your son. See the way you are talking now. He just said, no, mommy. Mommy said, don't be angry. I said, okay. I said, Kai, look at that. And that's Pastor E. I said, God have mercy. So this Valentine, show love to all men. Can somebody say all men? Because if you see in the story of Jonah, one of the challenges that Jonah had was that somehow he knew God was loving. Somehow he knew God wanted to do something about Nineveh. But he felt some people were not worthy of it. Many of us, that's where we find ourselves. You think that there is a category of people that you should show the love to. You think this person is worthy of it. Church member. No. You know, in church, we just go and worship God. It's only God we have business with. God's people. Leave God's people alone. Or those people. Aye. No. God is saying this morning that the people he wants you to show love to include the people you don't want to show the love to. Because Jonah did not run away from God because of the instruction. If it was to another people, Jonah would have gone quickly. But it was because of the person that he ran to. And so this morning I put it here that love is more a do thing than a feel thing. Why did Jonah run away? Why was Jonah not willing to show and tell? Jonah wanted to feel it before he does what God told him. And this morning I'm saying to you that if you are going to do love the way of God, if you are going to allow the love of God to really find expression in you, you are not going to wait for feelings. You are not going to feel like it. You are just going to do it because you have been told to do it. The reason Jonah needed to go to Nineveh was not because he felt that Nineveh needed it. The reason why God is saying this week you need to show love is not because the people you will show the love to need it or you feel like doing it. In fact, sometimes you do not feel like doing it. Sometimes you even have reasons why you should not do it because you know what those people have done to you. In fact, sometimes even when you now convince yourself to do it, I don't know if this has happened to you, you convince yourself to show them love, then you now go there. The person will now be feeling entitled. You know, you go and talk to the person, and the person will now say, okay, And you feel like, me. Is this the best you can do? Like, I have brought myself low. I don't feel like doing what I'm doing now, but I'm doing it because the word of God says it. Now, I thought that when I come, you now say, don't worry, even me too, I'm sorry. And then you will now be begging me. And then now I come to you, and you receive my apology on top of the fact that you are the one that is wrong. You receive my apology and you pretend as if it was nothing. But God is saying, it is not about feel. It's about do. Look at somebody say, it's not about feel. It's about do. So when we talk about love, love is more I do than I feel. You know, usually when people come into this marriage old ceremony, whatever way they make you say whatever you say, and you know, nowadays people make up their vow, is good. And I'm not discouraging you if you are thinking of making up your vow. But remember what you are saying. Think about what you are writing down. Don't make it colorful that is it lacks meaning, you know. Because sometimes the vows that people share, this especially the ones that people write up themselves, is very colorful. But meaningless. It does. When you don't summarize it, so what are we saying now? Nothing. You just said nothing. You know, I just love you because you are mindful. You are demure. What does that mean? What does that mean? Even the things that we knew the meaning before, we don't know the meaning again. Like, for example, you are cute. What does you are cute mean now, Seth? When I was growing up, you are cute means it's a little bit, it's small and all that kind of, but you are cute now. It's like you are nice. It's like you are loving sometimes because people just say, he's just so cute. I see the very tall guy like that. It's like somebody saying Tony is cute. Tony in this church that is almost 7 feet tall. I don't think that guy is cute. I think he's long. I mean, not in a bad way. When you people are laughing, you put me in trouble. Or the man that stood just now. The man is not quite cute. You know? But when you are writing in, know what you are writing. You know? Marriage and love is a commitment. That is why somewhere within your vow, let there be something like I do. Can somebody say amen? And that I do is an intentional commitment. I do as a parent is an intentional commitment that I will care for these children. I do as a brother to another sibling member is an intentional commitment that I will care for this person. It may not be I feel, because if we walk with I feel, how many of us will do many things? Sometimes, how many people wake up on some Monday mornings and it feel like Sunday morning? Hello? How many people wake up on Mondays and that Monday feels so much like Saturday morning? And some, the weather, everything is so wrapped and so good for you to snooze a little longer. But why do you still go to work? I do. Amen to Jesus? It is I do that made you go to work. It is not I feel. So I'm telling you that what God was trying to show Jonah, and is just trying to show you and I, is that I do is bigger than I feel. I feel is emotional. Does God not want people that know him to be emotional in their love? Of course he wants them to be, and I hope some of us are more emotional. Amen to Jesus. Amen to Jesus. I feel like some of our brothers, the reason that they have collected more nails than Jesus bargained for, because Jesus took all the nails on the cross. Now when they are giving you nail, some people don't understand what the nail means. The nail means no, without apology or without option for a review. Okay? When you come to the sister and she gives you a no that you cannot, there's no question mark behind it. It's a no that is definitive. It is words, but it landed on you like hand. You know? I don't know if this has happened to you before, but I speak from some level of experience. Amen to Jesus. There are some no's. It will land on you in not in a good place. You know, the Bible talks about laying on of hands. You can lay words. And some sister knows how to, they know how to lay it. They will give you that no in such a way that you will look at the mirror and you will not be, you almost not believe that the blood of Jesus can work for you again. You will just look at the image and say, this man in this mirror, I don't think the blood can avail again. Because the no you got was no without apology. But sometimes the reason the brothers have gotten those no is that you two, you have not been thoughtful. You didn't put some emotion into these things. You just went there and spoke like you saw on Mount Zion television, the one they did 10 years ago. And then you use those pickup lines that are not even enough to pick anything. They don't pick nothing. If you pick anything with it, it will fall. That is not a pickup line. You need to gather yourself together and present a good case. Can somebody say amen? The reason why some of our brothers have received no is not because the sisters are so hard. Say, you know, all these church people, what they are looking for is not realistic. It's not. Calm down. Even if you carry the vessel, we know that the vessel is inside. But even the container, we want the container to look good. Can somebody say amen? Amen. When the container has B.O. You know B.O.? You know B.O.? It's not Barack Obama. B.O. 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 When the container has B.O. Pastor, don't you know we are fasting? And so what? And so what? God has not eaten since. He has not eaten. And he's not disturbing us with B.O. Amen. So the fact that we are fasting does not mean that we cannot keep hygiene. I'm saying that it doesn't have to be that because we are trying to say love is more commitment that it cannot be emotional. I'm just saying that we elevate the commitment part more than the emotional part. And today God is calling many, many, many of us. If you are married, God is calling you more to the intentional part, into the I do part. If you are not married, God is calling you into the I do part too. There are too many of us, we are not married, but we are not sowing any good seed for that marriage. There's nobody that you are intentionally loving. You don't love church members. You don't love pastor. And I don't mean, you know, just
rolling around pastor or anything like that, but you don't show affection to anybody. You are just one way straight jacket. You come to church, you talk to nobody. Say, I came to meet God. So what? The God you have come to meet is not only on this altar. He's sitting next to you. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Some people didn't even know that they didn't really come to even hear the sermon. They came to meet the brother. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 25, it says, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. So why we come to church is the assembling together of the brethren. So there is something that the brethren bring. Because the Bible says in Psalm 133, if you start reading from verse 1, it says, behold how good and how perfect it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. He said, when there is that fellowship of brother and sister, he said, the Bible says, the anointing will now begin to flow from the head as like of the head of Aaron, and will be coming down even to the beards and to the skirts. So what does that mean? It means that even the brothers that you are sitting with, there's something you can get from them. So love is more intentional than it is emotional. But this morning, the part I want to zero in the next few minutes is that when it comes to love, there are some things that we have to pay attention in love. One of the things is that love has to be known. Love has to be known. Love is first of all a person. Love is first of all a person. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, in John chapter 3 and 16. For God so loved the world, John chapter 3 and 16. It was not just talking about the fact that God was expressing something. It was more of that God showed his personality. So when you see Jesus on the cross, that was how God wanted you to know love. So one of the things about love is that love has to be known. You have to know love. You have to know God whose name is love. You have to know how he operates. You have to interact with the word of God, interact with the God of the word, to the point where you see him and see his love way. See him not as a being that just does love as an action, but is a being that does love as a personality. Okay, so love has to be known. Not only that love has to be known, love has to be shown. I think this is one of the parts that many people do not, we can do better with. Love does not just have to be known, love has to be shown. You have to show it. One of the things that messes up our tell, that's where I'm zeroing into this morning, because you know we're talking about show and tell. One of the reasons, things that messes up our tell of the love of God is because our show is not there. We will tell a better story of the love of God when we show a better story. When the Bible said in John chapter 3 verse 16 that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God did not just love theoretically, God showed practically that he loved the world. And what God is showing us in that scripture is that if it comes to love, it is better shown than told. You show the love. You show more. And you get more done by showing the love than saying the love. There are so many people that will say things like, I love you. Thank God for the revival and the pluralization of I love you. You know, I've said this many times here before, that I grew up in an African home. And in African home, when you love something, you don't show it. Especially a child. Because if you show it I'm just going to say literally the way they say it in my town, my side of where I grew up, the child's head will swell. Okay? So when you love a child, you keep it to yourself. So the child may never know till they see Jesus that you love them. The only thing is just that you pay their school fees, but that you will tell or use your words, I know. So the first time, I think my mom, I hope she's not watching. She had come to the U.S. and I was still in Nigeria then. Then she finished this conversation on the phone. And she said, I love you. Ah. I said, my mom say I love you. Ah. You know, it's almost like you look at the phone and say, who am I talking to? And you know, in those days, you too, you can't just say I love you like that. You just say, mm-hmm. Because in your mind, you are thinking, can this be a trap? if you go and say, I love you back, you say, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? But she meant it. Now, I'm glad that things are a little better. I mean, I say I love you to my boys, to my girl. Oh, Lord. If we count I love you, we'll be millionaires if we bank all our I love yous. But you see, as much as there's a lot of that singing, we need to match that saying with showing. We need to match it with showing. You know, most people now, before you finish your text, you put the heart sign. I like it. It's good. But show the heart sign. Amen? Show it. Some of you, your status on social media has one love image inside it. But you're showing in real life, it does not have any love image. I mean, the way you come angry inside church service, the usher says this way, you say, which is this way? this one. It's like we're trying to organize the people, we're trying to make them sit down. It's like, no. This is my. Did you not see my name on this chair? Or if you don't see it, look under the chair, my name is there. Many people say, but few people show. God was bringing Jonah. And what God began to show Jonah through what eventually happened in his story was that I want you to show my love. God needs more pictures and moving love than speaking love. God needs people that will go into an organization and not just do a job there, but show a God who is loving. God needs people in churches who will not just come and lift up holy hands during worship service or worship time. And after they lift up that same holy hand, they will bring down holy brother with their words, with their actions. God is saying that I want more show people. People who are going to show the love. Because there is something about love. Love does not need to be known alone. Love needs to be shown. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you start reading from verse 4 downwards, the Amplified Version, I think you should read it. This is a good week to read that law. Because just before you say, I love you, what does that mean? What does it mean? In that scripture, John, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 now began to talk about what I love you will mean. When you say, I love you, this is how I love you should be. I love you will be that I endure long. What do I endure? I endure you. I endure who you are. Because some of us, we don't mind saying I love you as long as we don't know me. You know, many people love the people they don't know. That's why so many people, when they come into the church, they don't, I don't really like that church. I like, you know that pastor that preaches on YouTube? I love him. You don't love him. You don't know him. It is we that you know that you can touch like this, that we can annoy you. We are the people that you can really talk about love. Because that person you don't know, he's always good. I get people that tell me, that, Pastor, hey, I just like you. Something I've met some people say you are very humble. I say, how do you know I'm humble? you don't know why I do what I'm doing. And I've told some of you sometimes it's not humility, it's just shy. Say, I just like the way you are. Hey, you don't know me now. If you know me, maybe it's my wife. You go ask my wife, is he humble? And I say, well, he's probably not so humble. So when the Bible is talking about love, the Bible is not just talking about the romantic part. It's there. It's there. But the Bible is saying love means I endure. What does that mean? That means I will know your fault and still live with you. Yeah. I will know your fault and still live with you. It's as if one of the things that happen to married people, you know, when you guys are dating, and the other person, and this may sound a little gross to some people, please. Pardon me before I go into it, because I'm going to some people say, but just please, it's illustration. So you're dating, the person who enters into the bathroom, oh, you give them space, and then the first year of marriage, every time they enter in the bathroom, oh, smell it. And then 5 years into marriage, when they enter the bathroom, the person says, I'm going to do number two. I know, go ahead. That is how love really looks like. Where you know they will do number two, and the smell of number two has not reduced, but because you have stayed with number two long enough, you are now used to their number two. Can somebody say amen? Because some of you, the reason why you don't like us is because you are just seeing number two the first day you met us.
Wait for us. You still get used to the number two. Amen to Jesus. I don't know if you've entered some cars before and that car was not smelling quite good. After a while, if you stay there, if you stay there long, you'll be used to the smell. Some of you, the reason why you are fighting us is because you have not stayed long. Stay with us long. You know, sometimes some people, every time they meet a particular challenge, especially when it comes to things like church, you go to this church. I don't like how they talk to me there. You go to another. You will not experience the fullness of the body of Christ like that. Wait. Just give us 10 years. Very soon, when we do number two, you won't even know we did number two. You say, eh? And you say, ah, this place is smelling. You say, really? I didn't know that it's smelling. So, it says love. It suffers long. What about what is love? Love is not rude. Let me say this to you. One of the challenges of most people in relationships, whether romantic relationship or any other kind of relationship, is over time, we get used to ourselves. And one of the problem of familiarity is that familiarity can breed contempt, where you begin to look at the other person without so much regard that you should give to them. And you start becoming rude. And God is saying in this scripture that after, if you are really talking about love, love is not rude. I am not rude to you because you are my son. Can somebody say amen? If you are an African parent, let me say it to you again. Or you come from cultures where you feel that if they are your son, then or they are somebody lower than you, you can speak to them anyhow. Love in any respect is not rude. Can somebody say amen? There are rude parents. Yeah. You can be rude to your child. You can say what you should not say. And let me give you a caveat. If you do that, say I'm sorry. Pastor, you mean you tell your son you are sorry? Of course now. Am I not a human being? I'll say I'm sorry. And I'll tell them I'm not supposed to have spoken like that. If you raise children like that, you raise confident children. You raise children that will know that you are a human being, and they too, in their humanity, there is hope. Love is not rude. Rude to your husband. The way some people talk to their husband. The way some people talk to their wife. The way some people talk to people that are below them. Because I'm your pastor. I'm going to talk to you. I'm disciplining you. Excuse me. We can say the truth, but we can say it politely. We can say it nicely. I remember when I just got married, you know, I have a paramilitary training. And then plus African house, I just turned to a uniformed military man. You know, some of us, we miss our calling sometimes. So I'm an uniformed military man. So I talk, you know. One day my wife said, well, you can be kinder. Just TLC. You know what TLC is? Tender love and care. If a brother is near, you tell him TLC. Mm-hmm. TLC. Tell another brother TLC. I think some people want to tell tribe, but they don't know that they can get to it. Because he's standing alone, but they want to tell him. I say, Mr. Tribe, TLC. A little. We know you can be straight. But give us tender love and care. TLC. Love is not rude. It shows a little TLC. It says it is not self-seeking. Do you know why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh? It was all about him. You know, recently I found out that really the greatest object of love is not you, it's others. Others in God, others in others, human beings. The biggest object of love, look through scriptures, is always projecting outside. It's not self-seeking. If your love is all about yourself, I know that they told you, and this is getting popular, and there's some truth to it, that self-love, self-care is not selfishness. There's a truth to that. But don't push it too much. Because if you push it too much, self-love will become selfishness. The sin of Lucifer, many people did not know that necessarily. I don't think he wanted to be God. He was just full of himself. And he wanted to have a parallel thing. A parallel thing. He knew that he won't be God. He's an angel now. He would be smarter than that. This is the uncreated that created all things. So I can't become him. It's too late because I was created. So I feel like he was too full of himself. And that happens a lot. Many young men, many young women, many not so young people, so full of themselves. So full of himself. The reason why God is not able to get that "I forgive you" from you, whether you say it or show it, is because you are full of yourself. How could they do that to me? How could he say that to me? How dare you? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know the prophecy over my life? Do you know I'm a miracle going somewhere to happen? Do you know me? Who are you? Who are you? You're a man with breath in your nostril. Who are you? Who are you? So this afternoon, God is saying, when it comes to love, you know, then you also show. And when you show, it looks like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4. And when you show it, you think about other people. And that is where you now begin to tell others. Because love is not only known, love is not only shown, love has to be shared. Love has to be shared. What God was calling Jonah to, and what God is calling you to, is that don't take the love of Jesus only for yourself. There is a 21st century church that wants the love to be for only themselves. We want to be a small homogeneous group. We want to be a small place where only we, ourselves, and us are. Our prayers are so all about us. Our songs are so all about us. And that is why, thank you, Lord, for the ministry of worship team. Can people celebrate them? Our song must be more for all of us. We must think about all of us. Our song, our words, our action must include others. Because when it comes to love, it has to be known. When it comes to love, it has to be shown. When it comes to love, it has to be shared. We have to share the love. In fact, it is when you share it that you keep it. When you want the love of God to increase more and more, you share it. You give it. God had only one son. Only one begotten son. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave the one that he had. Like some people nowadays, they are protecting their heart. They say, I don't want anybody to break my heart. I'm protecting it. And I get some part of it. Some part of it, you have to not be careless. But let me tell you the truth. You will still have to be vulnerable. You still have to share their love with somebody. You still have to let people come in. If you have this guard, you will guard out the right people. You'll guard out the right people. Love has to be known. Love has to be shown. And love has to be shared. How do you share the love of God with people? When I talk about sharing the love of God, I mean bringing people to know the same God that you know. Let me tell you, that your friend that is at work that doesn't know Jesus, if he dies in that state, he will not like you when he sees you outside of this realm. Let me tell you, that your family member, that your brother, that your sister, that your person that you call your bestie or people that you love today, if they don't know Jesus, is on you. The joke is on you. We have to ask you, do you really love them? Because if you don't share with them love, we don't know that you love them. Because you have not given anybody any good thing except you give them Jesus. So before you start giving people Valentine gifts this season, and that gift is not Jesus, reconsider this morning. Now, when it's true love, it has to be shared. And what do you share? You share Jesus. You share Jesus. There is a world that still needs Jesus. There is a world that still needs Jesus. Some of the things that we are trying to solve with legislation, the way to solve it is share Jesus. You know, when Jesus came here on earth in person, many people thought that he was going to restore the kingdom. They thought there was going to be a political solution to the problem of man. And today we are still thinking there's going to be a political solution. I don't care where you voted or who you voted for. Some of you still think the solution to the problem in our world is political. You are wrong. It's not political. It's not. It doesn't matter who that political person is, because the way some people look at it, oh, as long as we have a Republican in the White House. Who told you that one? As long as we have so. No. The problem of the world is not political, and the solution is not political. It's spiritual. The problem is spiritual. Am I saying that it's only spiritual things? Because some people say, well, what pastor is saying that we should only approach it spiritually. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's the first thing. We'll add other things to it. I'm saying that's the first thing. So your brother, your sister, your family member, your co-worker that don't know Jesus, that's the first thing. Some of us think love is I give you something. There are some of us that have reduced love to social responsibility. It is good. I've seen people say things like, the church should do better. The church should feed the poor. If we feed the poor and the poor does not know Jesus, we have still not done them well. Jesus fed 5,000. Food that will perish. Jesus himself said, he said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. He says, I am the bread from heaven that came down. It is that bread you need. When there was a woman at the well, remember in John chapter 4, and this woman began theological discourse and dissertations and all that kind of thing, and was saying, Jesus, do you know this? Do you know this story? Do you know that story? Jesus says, you know what? There is a water you will drink, you will not be thirsty again. Those are the kind of things we need to give people, because some people will not be telling you the history of so and so. Ah, what do you think about Israel and Gaza? And even the church, we are in the crossfire. You know, sometimes when I look at the church, I'm just like, I shake my head. You know, because you see a name in the Bible. Oh, because the Bible said Israel. Every time Israel does something, Israel is right. Excuse me. Our message is Jesus. That's what we share. We don't just share geography and all of that kind of thing. Sometimes when you look at the conversation we have within the church and we begin to elevate geography, when Jesus was even telling this woman, in the days of Jesus, Jesus said, look, it's not about geography. You are talking about the fact that, there's a well. We are going to go to that well. Jesus said, there's a time coming that the true worshippers are not going to be the geography kind of people. He said the true worshipper will worship God in spirit and in truth. And Jesus said, look, I know what you need. I will give you what you really need. All this facade that you are bringing up, I'm going to give you what you really need. I'm saying this morning to you, my friends, it is time for us to share Jesus. It is time for you to share Jesus with your brother. It is time for you to share Jesus with your co-worker. That is how you can show and tell. You will show them with your lifestyle, but you also still tell them. Not only will you be good to them, not only will you be kind to them and nice to them, but you will show them by telling them. What are some practical things that can help you, that you can start with right now? First thing, birth them in prayers. Birth them in prayers. Many people say things like, but in our office, there's a policy that we should not talk to people about religion. But there's no policy that says you should not pray. Because you can go to your closet. You can go into your own place. In Colossians chapter 4 verse 19, Paul talked about the fact that he was birthing some people in prayer. He says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, that Christ will be formed in you. You can birth people in the place of prayer. Do you know, most times, even once you start with that prayer, God may send you or he may send another person. There are some of us, the people that we want saved, we can't speak to them. They won't hear. I mean, one day I heard a story that our general overseer, Pastor E. Adeboye, said, and the story so blessed me. He said he noticed that he couldn't really win his immediate family. And then he started to pray. And somehow God will send people, whether he knew them or not, and they will speak to his family members. And they will become born again through those people, but sometimes not through him. And it happens a lot to many of us. You understand? You find out that you have friends and people in your life that these people, if you ordinarily talk to them, they will just shun you away. Because some of the times, some of us have awful, we have a past with them. We have history with them. You know, like it happened to me several years ago. I remember when I got born again, I went to meet some of my friends. And one of the guys laughed me to scorn. He was like, ah. he laughed. And in his mind, he was like, stop that joke. we know ourselves now. We'll go and meet where we meet very soon. Don't worry. You know, we've seen your type before. You know, And they will not take you serious. In fact, I remember that time that I was going to meet those my friends. God told me not to go. And I felt it was not God speaking. How can God not tell me, I want to go and preach to my friend. How can God say, don't go? When I went, when I came back, I knew that it was God that told me not to go. Because I couldn't get to talk about Jesus. And that day, they sowed more seed inside me. More than the one I sowed inside them. So that when I got home, it was the images of what they were doing that I saw in my head. You know? And then some of those things started flashing back. And the devil told me, don't deceive yourself. This is your life. Just go this way. All this one that you are trying to do, we go. You will fall. You are too young. You are not. If you get born again at this age, I'm 18 those days. So if I get born again at 18, what will happen to me when I'm 50-something? I would have gone back again and again and again. So the devil was telling me that. But thanks be to God that he's able to keep. He's able to keep anything you commit to him against that day. We are not only just staying with Jesus, we are going stronger in him. In the name of Jesus. So how do I tell them? How do I share Jesus? In the place of prayer. Begin to pray for them. I want to challenge you this week of Valentine. Find a list. Write a list of people that you are showing love to. You can call it my love list. You can call it my birth list. People you want to give birth to in God. Do you know there was something that happened in Genesis, I believe 30. Rachel went to meet Jacob and he says, give me children or I die. I hope and I wish more church people, more people of God may feel like that. Lord, increase me. Give me people. Give me nations. Give me my classroom. Give me my family. I don't want to meet you empty-handed. I don't want to show up before Jesus and tell him, "Oh, Jesus said, how was the earth?" I will say, I went to work. How was the earth? I will say, I used to play golf on Saturdays. And you'll say, where's your brother? We used to attend. What about your co-worker? And then you'll be hearing their noise from another realm. God forbid that. God forbid that. And so this morning, God is saying to you and I, bathe them in prayer. Bathe them in prayer. How do you share the love of Jesus? Bathe them through invitations. Invite them. Invite them. Come and see. Come and see. Many people think it takes a lot to share Jesus. No. Just come and see. Bring them. Bring them to where they were here. It was Andrew that first found Jesus. Andrew was the brother of Peter. Immediately Andrew found Jesus. The Bible said Andrew findeth Peter and brought Peter to Jesus. It's Peter that we all know now. It's Peter that became the one that said that word, you are the Christ. And Jesus now said, upon this rock I'll build my church. But he was not the first. Andrew was the first. But thanks be to God for the ministry of Andrews. Many of you can be an Andrew. All you just need to do is, can we go to church? One of our brothers here, when we were in, I think, 5933 and in the Berry Park area, you know, every now and then he would come with somebody to church. One day I had to ask him, I said, how do you do this thing? It's like you always have a handbag and it's a human being. You bring them to church. Your friends are always coming. He said, on Saturday, I would have told them before, maybe like Monday, and on Saturday I would tell them, I'll come and pick you. I'll bring you. I don't need to say much. I just need to bring them. But if I bring them to church and they don't preach about Jesus, you leave that one to Jesus. A seed. You don't know the power of a seed. They can come to Jesus. They can come to church service and they heard a song. Jesus can use that song. They can come to church service and they see somebody smile at them in church and say, God bless you. That word, that seed is enough for Jesus to use. You can birth them through invitations. Bring them. Bring them to church. Bring them to Jesus. Send them a message. Send them this message. Send them one message that blessed you. Give them something. Because when you do this, you are making sure that you are sharing Jesus. Let me say this one more. I'll take it up from here the next time. How do you birth them? You birth them through influence. Influence. I believe this is very, very useful in the place of parents and children. If you are a parent, hear me. The job of bringing your child to Jesus is your job. It's not Sunday school teachers. It's not children's church. It's not the favorite YouTube channel. It's your job. In Genesis 18, God spoke about Abraham, and I hope he will speak about you like that. He said, I know Abraham. One of the reasons I want him to be father of many nations is that I know he will command his children. He will command his children. Many of us, we command our children to go to school. We make them go to school. But when it comes to God, we say, I don't like to impose my... I will impose. Hello. I will impose. I will impose. In this house, you will serve my God. You will serve my God. I will impose. The things that I do, I will bring you into it. I will bring into it. I will speak to you about Jesus. You will hear from me who Jesus is. I will speak to you about him, and then I will show him to you. Because sometimes the reason many of the children will not even hear about Jesus is that the Jesus that their father talks about outside of their house is different from the Jesus they see their father behave in their house. You see the father behave like a son of the devil, and then he comes outside and be talking of the son of God. No, you must portray the son of God at home and the son of God outside of the house. But you birth them through influence. They are your brother. Influence them. Somebody is collecting money from you and you just keep quiet. No, there's no string attached. There's strings attached. I'm holding the string like this. Better receive Jesus or I'll pull this string away now. I'm holding the string. You are my son. You are my daughter. Ah, I am holding the string. But I will just care for you as a father. Yes. But I've not given you anything until I give you Jesus. Let me tell you, the biggest inheritance you can give any child is give them God. I don't care how much you can give your child, but give them God. I can tell you that one for free, that the inheritance that I have got, even though my biological parents are still alive, is God. Is God. If they don't give me money, which, you know, whether they give me or not, I'm past it long. Whether they give me house or anything, because I've gotten something more than God. I've gotten Jesus. You see, the inheritance that I cannot lose forever. I've gotten Jesus. I can go to a barren land and it will work. I can still remember in my ears what my grandmother used to say there. I know what I am doing. I know what I'm doing. When she was spending money the way I didn't like, not that she was wasting it, but she was giving people. I thought that she should give me the money so that when my grandmother dies, I'll have enough money. If she gave me the money, no matter how many millions it was, I would have finished it. But I got something more than gold. I got something. So this morning, God is calling you to show and to tell. He called Jonah. Jonah first said no. I hope you won't say no this morning. He's saying show and tell. He's saying go into your word and show and tell. That's how you can really say I love you. This week, if you don't show and tell, your I love you is not complete. Inside that your I love you, let there be a show. Let there be a tell. Go ahead, bow down your heads and speak to Jesus. He needs to help you this morning. As you go into this week, I want to show, I want to tell. Something more than gold. Something more than gold. The Spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than gold. Go ahead, speak to him.